His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
Bring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this. Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit rap for power? You some bitches get out and get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
We're still trying to get that message. Black power, black power, black power, and more black power to my people. This is your brother, your soldier in arms and comrade in battle. This is Sean Kwali. I'm happy to be able to broadcast live once again to you from right here in the hills and the smells of North America. As always, I count this a privilege. I count this a joy. I count this an esteemed honor to be able to talk to you from this revolutionary, bold radio broadcast, the official broadcast of the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. This is Black Power Radio. Buckle your safety belts. Get down low and get in tight. It's going to be a rough ride for the enemy, for the devil, for this white man. But it's going to be smooth sailing for some original people, some black men, some black women, some descendants of African slaves and Africans from the mother continent who know what time it is. The book talks about it's a great and a dreadful day. That book of Malachi in the Bible talks about it's a great and a dreadful day. It's a great day for us. It's a dreadful day for those who ain't been doing so good. It's a dreadful day for those who want to keep us in the condition that we're in. It's a dreadful day for those that don't want to see the black man and black woman free. We're excited tonight on Black Power Radio, but I first got to open up and give thanks to the almighty, wise, true, and living God, who answers to many names because we speak different languages, the God of our forefathers and foremothers, that black God who is a part of that Godhead, which means that you have a feminine and a masculine and a feminine. So we give praise to that God and the goddess, the black man and the black woman, supreme beings of the planet Earth and universe. We give thanks to all of our ancestors. Though we don't have enough time to name all their names, we give thanks for people like Fannie Lou Hamer, and we say Ashe, and we give thanks for Queen Harriet Tubman. We give thanks for Sojourner Truth. We give thanks for Queen Hatshepsut. We give thanks for Denmark Vesey. We give thanks for Toussaint Louverture. We give thanks for Buchman and give thanks for Dessalines. We give thanks for Bishop Henry McNeil Turner. Giving thanks for the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. Giving thanks for the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Giving thanks for Minister Malcolm X. We give thanks for all of the comrades who have passed on from the Black Panther Party formation of 1966 underneath Minister Huey P. Newton and Huey P. Newton himself. Of course, we give thanks for the Black Liberation Army, the BLA, BLA. We give thanks for those like General George Jackson. We give thanks for Frank Williams. We give thanks for everybody, everybody who has come and fought. Robert Williams, who has come and fought and helped us to be in the position that we're in today. And if we let it be 1,000, we still couldn't say thank you enough for this revolutionary upstart beginning in Dallas, Texas in 1989 and pushing on and pushing forward until it got into the hands of a beautiful, bold, bald-headed black man. We said 100% black man, uncompromising, unflinching, unrelenting with this enemy who told us, told the world, and taught the world through his actions that his purpose was to give the devil hell from the cradle to the grave. And I have to bear witness, and so do you, that that's exactly what he did. He gave this devil hell right in his face, right in his cold, pale face, and organized black men and women all throughout the country and throughout the world to stand up for Kujichagulia in this spirit and season of Kwanzaa, stand up for self-determination and for liberation. I'm talking about the Black Power General, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. And if I happen to reach the ripe old age of Methuselah, which was 969 years, I can never thank, and you can never thank, Almighty God enough for giving us a black man who, when many had laid down and many had given up the fight after we lost the Black Power General in 2001, this black man stood up, being trained and being taught and being prepared and shaped since an early time in his life and as a student on the campus of Howard University, being prepared in the streets and being prepared in the classroom and being prepared in the business world. This black man is a well-rounded black man, a brother who can talk to you from all areas, but first and foremost, he is a brother who understands what you're going through, a black man who knows what it's like to struggle and what it's like to fight and what it's like to be all right sometimes. He's well-rounded. He's well-balanced. He's well-versed. He's well-read. A black man who knows what it's like to be a parent because he's a father. He knows what it's like to be a son because he's a son. Knows what it's like to be a brother because he's a brother. This black man is just like you and I, but he's being raised amongst the people. And he is the national chairman of the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. In fact, the longest standing chairman of any Panther regiment, and no disrespect to any of them, but having this weight of being a Panther on your shoulders is no easy task. Having to deal with the ups and deal with the downs and deal with the stress and deal with the headache and deal with the heartache and deal with the hurt, deal with the joy, deal with the laughter, deal with the good times, and deal with Negro mess. This black man has waited and walked through it all, sometimes moved and shaken through it all. He's done it all in a long period of time and still standing. He deserves our support, our backing. He deserves us in any way we can give it in terms of this liberation struggle. I'm speaking of our national chairman, the attorney at war, a man who's earned his rank as five-star general. I'm speaking of the attorney at war, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who you'll hear from tonight live on Black Power Radio. And welcome out. And I always say, you take this time right here to text somebody who need to be on this line, all new Black Panthers, need to be on the line right now, tuned in right by your phones, right by your radios, right by your computer screens to hear the instructions from our champion, warrior, fighter in our midst, key organizer in our midst. That's right, that honorable chairman, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. He'll be on with us tonight in a few short moments. And as I open up and prepare the way, we're going to hear from a black man that's organizing. He's going to talk to you and tell you what's happening on the West Coast. And he is, in my estimation, a rising star in the black nation, a brother whom I've known for some time now and have the privilege of working with a lot, and understand his spirit and understand his passion was similar. The black man has passion. The black man has commitment. The black man has drive. The black man has dedication, and he, along with the staff, the Los Angeles chapter staff, Central Committee, and laborers that are working there, and brothers and sisters that are working there, are doing something that will go down in history as a magnificent feat on the West Coast, something maybe even unmatched in due time. I'm talking about a brother who I'm going to bring before you who will speak to you brand new brother on the National Central Committee team. And hear me good, he deserves his spot. He deserves his spot. Brand new brother on the National Central Committee who was serving as acting Minister of Commerce and Industry, and the national chairman said, give him this title. He is the National Minister of Economic Development of the new Black Panther Party and the Black Nation. Give him a round of applause and Black Power where you are. New National Minister of Economic Development for the new Black Panther Party and the Black Nation. I want to bring him on with the Black Power and a congratulations to my brother. This is our brother here, Los Angeles, representative of the new Black Panther Party. This is our brother, Brother Mike L. Black Power. Welcome to Black Power Radio, Brother Mike, and congratulations, sir. Brother Mike, you on with us?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I'm on, brother.
All right, all right. Black Power, congratulations, black man. Welcome to Black Power Radio.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, tell us what's happening in L.A., black man. Talk
okay,
to
you hear me? Okay. Yes, sir. We got a lot going on out here in L.A. right now, brother. We're working on this economic development plan, me and a few of my new comrades. And what we have here is one is BUF, which stands for Black United Front, which is an S corp that we created that's going to conduce of all black businesses, lecturers, merchandise. Everything is going to go through BUF. Then we have a other program we're working on is the Black Trade Line, which is going to be an example of kind of like a Black Craigslist, where you have a conglomerate of all the black listings. Business registries, jobs, things of that nature, where black people can finally, communicate each other with black businesses and business owners. And then we also have our Yahoo exchange. We're working on trying to wean ourselves off of wasting, using the green dollar. So what I mean by that is with the RBG News magazine, again, that we have Dr. Umar Johnson being chief editor for, we're going to use a new method to try to wean our people off of the dollar. And what I mean by that is this. What we're creating is our own kind of currency, but they're almost like coupons. So, for example, when you subscribe to a magazine, you're going to get a list of your Yahoo dollars or a page of your Yahoo dollars. And say, for example, you might get a page full of 1,000 Yahoo dollars inside the magazine. Now, in the back of that magazine, of course, you'll have your black business registry with all the different businesses that's in your area and other areas as well. And you also have other ads for other black businesses. Now, with that Yahoo dollars, if you're in the magazine, you see, just for example, you see a TV that might be $50 regular cash and 200 Yahoo dollars, then you would be able to take that 200 Yahoo dollars out of that $1,000 in that magazine and take your 50 green dollars and be able to purchase that TV. So at the same time, we're spending more money with the money that we're creating than so of using the European dollar. So there's a lot of different things that we're working with out here, trying to, like I said, create a strong economical development and forefront, along with the other merchandise, with the shirts and the hats and things that we're creating as well. I just talked to a brother today that wants to create the new Black Panther Party incense. So we'll have our own official incense, own official smell that'll be totally ours. So our chairman will be here. I will meet up with him on Wednesday, and I'm gonna let him smell and let him choose the smell that he prefers to go with, and then we'll have our own official incense as well. So again, like I said, we're just working hard trying to create these businesses that will be able to connect with other black businesses. So we'll be able to connect with other black businesses, black business owners, and we'll start using our money with each other instead of going to Walmart and going to all these different other places that we're constantly spending trillions of dollars or billions of dollars a year on these European companies, European businesses, when we have black people that have black businesses and own black businesses that have the same products that we create that we can start spending money on and have our own African economical system.
Yes, sir. Absolutely excellent. Absolutely excellent. What? Tell us. We have a little bit of time Tell us what was the major inspiration behind the entire economic push. You've been driving now for a while at economics and commerce. Tell the people what was the major push behind this whole drive.
Oh man, coming out here into LA and then seeing that we as black people have no ownership really of anything as much as the Hispanics have, as much as the Asians have, as much as even some of the Native Americans out here. You know, you got the Jewish community out here. I mean, everybody has their own community. They're doing what they need to do, and they're always spending money with their own people. You know, and they're just growing hard. Like, to be honest with you, I'm yet to see a Latino on a corner bumming for anything. I don't care what it is. I haven't yet to see them bum for anything. They will sit outside and take their clothes, whatever they food, cook it, and put it and be seen right in front of their house, and they're going to make their money. So the thing is, we have to find ways to keep our people from feeling like there's nothing they can do. You know, we'd rather sell everything, pawn everything, get rid of everything for a few dollars and still end up with nothing. And not have nothing to show for, instead of working together with our neighbors, working together with other people, and creating businesses, which is what I see these Hispanics doing out here, what I see these Asians doing out here, what I see these Jews doing out here. You know, they're working together, creating businesses, and able to establish these businesses provide for their families and other families as well. Also, seeing a lot of these different revolutionary organizations out here having to find different ways to make money. And most have to pass out flyers or get some kind of donation. So that with that being said, it makes it seem like, you know, we as revolutionaries have no kind of business sense or business mind to create and have ownership as our honorable Mosiah Marcus Garvey taught us, to have our own businesses, our own economy. Even Black Wall Street, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 1920s, also told us that we have the mind state, we have the ability to do these things. We just have to tap back into that network, which is in our brain, and stop getting sidetracked about all this stuff that goes on in the world that has nothing to do with us. We just have to start focusing on the things that we need to do as black people and black men and black women to create an economical system for ourselves. If we don't have it, we will lose. I mean, you can't have a revolution without no money. I'm sorry, you cannot be a broke revolutionary. Well, I mean, you know, we all see how these how America, they got drones, they got all kinds of stuff that they can pinpoint and blow houses up, you know, in 30 seconds. They have all this stuff, and we have a lot of people talking about wanting to do this and do that, but at the same time, we don't have the funds, we don't have the means, we don't have the connections, we ain't even connecting with our brothers and sisters in Africa to really deal with this European the way we need to deal with them. We have to make major connections before we can talk about killing and taking over. We have to be took it. The revolution has to start in our minds first, and a lot of these revolutionaries have to start to be solutionaries, and not get emotional, get upset. You know, everybody understands what we have to go through. Stop complaining, stop using these excuses, and just go ahead and make it happen. You can make it happen if you have the will. You have the will to stand up for your people. You have the will to make things happen. Just, you know, you fall, get right back on up. You know, we just have to take that sacrifice. You know, when I wake up in the morning, I have Marcus Mosiah Garvey's face picture right in the shape of Africa. I look at, and he stares at me every morning. So that allows me to get up and get on it. You know what I'm saying? So whatever we got to do to motivate ourselves to get to work, to make these plans and to create these ideas and these new inventions and innovate, whatever you got to do to excel. The nation of the black African man and woman, you know, we have to do that. So that's what I'm focusing on. A lot of my comrades, they're all, most all of them are leaders. They have their own businesses and things of that nature. And like I said, they came to me for the foundation, which is even more beautiful. So now we can move together. Sister Cool has her own, she writes, she's, like I said, she has her own publishing company. She writes her own children books. One of my comrades is actually a battle rapper. He travels to Las Vegas, travels all over the place, and he's going to be wearing our uniforms, you know what I'm saying, our hats and shirts when he goes on TV and be on these Smack DVDs and all these hip-hop networks that we all know of, you know, when he's up there with these hats and shirts, that, you know, it's still Panther all day long. So it's like we're just tapping into every network from music to entertainment to education to fashion. We had, like I said again, we have to submerge our people back into our culture. And once we do that, we have to show the people in the community exactly what we're doing with the funds and the money. We have to show the community exactly, you know, how to use the funds that we make and to put back into the community so that they see something out of it and they'll want to participate. They'll want to donate, you know, things of that nature. So, but like I said, again, this is what we're diligently working hard on. I'm proud of all my comrades sticking with me, sticking by me, through all the hell that I've been going through, and the heaven that I've been going through out here, being the fact that I'm not from this area. Like I said, I give them a strong Black Power salute for holding me down, and because they know I'm gonna hold them down as well. So again, I'm here for my people. I'm here to make sure that we stand up. It's 2013. It's new ideas. You know, it's the era of new age, the Aquarius age. So it's time for us to move out and think big, think strong. You know, no thought is small. No thought is small. Just go for what you know. We can make it move. Black Power.
Black Power. We had some heavy economic minds on last Monday night on Black Power Radio. What do you think it is, Brother Mike? Where we mess up with our economics as a people? What are some of the faults and things you've seen us do as a people that keeps us from having true economic success?
We don't know what to do with our money when we get it. We do not know how to save money, period. We don't know what to invest our money in, and we don't know what to do with our money once we get it. You know, like I said, every year everybody gets the income tax in. What do people do with their money? Some of these people have four or five children. They get thousands of dollars back just to do what with the money? Just to do what? You know, buy a car, get rims, you know, pay off a little bit of bills, get some new clothes, buy the children some clothes, and it's back to nothing. Nobody's really having a business mind state. You know, no. If I was a young sister that had four or five children, I knew I was about to get a good $7,000-$8,000 coming back next year. In the summertime, I'm already thinking of a business plan or some way that I can use that money to so that it'll last. And we have to start teaching our children, you know what I'm saying, how to use their money, how to, you know, and create something that'll last them for a lifetime, even their children's children. Like again, white children are taught how to live. We are taught how to survive. So, you know, we have to start teaching our children how to live, how to save money, how to say to themselves out of their own mouth, I want to be a business owner and not an employee. You know, we have too many people, black men and women go to college just to be employees. You know what I mean? Why spend all them thousands of dollars just to be working up under the European once again? You know, we have to start thinking of bigger ideas. And sometimes you might have to be the spook to sat behind the door and get in there so that you can get out and work and help your people. But, you know, once you realize that, get out, help your people and move on forward, so that these young children, this new generation of brothers and sisters that's coming up, will have a full understanding of what is important in life, not all this music and gang banging and dancing and all this other stuff they're into, the drugs and things of that nature. It's back to formulating families, showing them how to be a family, you know, and showing black men how to be a family man again, you know, and support his woman, and showing out the black woman how to support her man, that's the things we have to create. And a lot of times, even relationships that are black relationships is because economics. Either the sister's working, the brother's not, the brother's working, the sister's not. It's always an economical system working when it comes to relationships with black men and black women that we deal with. It's a heavy toll on us to be able to provide for our children the way the white man does. You know, their children are comfortable in school because they're being taught what they taught them. They're being taught what they need to know. Even when they go home, they're being taught that. But see, what happens when the black family, you know, we're working two jobs. Mom's working two jobs. Dad working two jobs. Nobody's home to really teach the children. The mom gets home, you know, she cooks dinner. She goes up, takes her shower, whatever can it be, like cooks up for her, the father. And then they're back in the bed to get ready to wake up in the morning and not really having that time, that one-on-one time with the children to even teach them. So that's when the street steps in. That's when that dope deal steps in. That's when that prostitute steps in. You know, that's when that swindler steps in and deals with our children in a way and teaches our children things that they're not used to experiencing or they shouldn't experience because we're too busy working or trying to provide for a child and not being able to be there. And also because we haven't been taught that way. So, it's, like I said, it's a lot. It's a lot of things that we have to work on, but mainly – knowing how to use the money that and invest the money that we get. That's the number one problem with our nation as black men and black women. All this money we spent, trillions of dollars, they said $1.3 trillion last year. And just imagine if that $1.3 trillion that we spent last year on nothing, just imagine what we could have did with that money if we all knew what to do with it, if we all had a goal or a plan or some
land. That's right.
You know, or something that we say, hey, listen, we could put this towards this land. Everybody put this up towards this. We could have been had ourselves again. We could have been had our own nation. But now it's about teaching. It's like I said, this is the age of information. So now it's up to us. If nobody else is going to do it, if no ACP is going to sit down, if Al Sharpton is going to sit down, you know, we have to stand up and be the teachers, be the leaders of the new generation 2013. And re-educate our people and show them how to spend their money wisely.
Absolutely. That last question for you, sir. What is it that we can expect? You are the newly appointed National Minister of Economic Development. What can we expect from your department, and what can the new Black Panther Party expect? When I say we, I mean the Black Nation and now the new Black Panther Party. What can we expect from you, sir, and your department?
Oh man, I just got the call this morning, and I've been, you know, for this last 2 hours, that's what I've been working on. Honestly, is what to work on, and definitely wanting to connect with these businesses that I explained to y'all before, and also doing with Viant. There's another company we're putting together called Viantech as well that we'll be able to use for applications and things of that nature. So we have to start getting back into the computers and things of that nature and creating our own applications and things of that nature. So we're doing all of this. I have a good soldier, good comrade, Brother EJ. The brother has been working out here in Los Angeles. He's really from Baltimore, but he's been working out here with these Europeans from MySpace and to deal with every single rap artist or entertainer you can think of. And the brothers them met with him, talked with him, sat down with him, and things of that nature. So he's well connected. And what I'm thinking about is really definitely connecting with our Africans over in South Africa when our NASA chairman makes that trip over there, and how we can really connect and definitely start a trade and barter system with our South African Africans out there from here to there, so we can start connecting and using the resources that we need to use from Africa with the resources that we have from here. So that's definitely a major connection that we need to start and make sure that we keep that going. Because without Africa right now, we in America, I mean, we'll be stuck. We'll be stuck. So we got to make sure we keep that connection with our homeland, the motherland, and we can move forward from there.
You're talking international trade.
Yes, sir.
International trade, man. This beast is in trouble. Brother Mike, we want to say congratulations to you, sir. Everybody around the Black Nation has given you a black round of applause. And, of course, you know your comrades are saluting you. We're very proud of you. And, of course, you are an extension. The chapter is an extension of you. And so we are very proud of the work of the Los Angeles chapter of the new Black Panther Party. We're proud of the work that is building up from not only an economic front, but from a Pan-Africanist front, a black nationalist front, from a liberation standpoint. We're proud of the work that you're doing from a security standpoint, a military standpoint. We are overall proud of that Los Angeles chapter, the new Black Panther Party, brother, and we're very proud of you, sir. Congratulations. Much love, much respect. Look forward to doing great things with you in the future, you and the entire Black Nation, my brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I appreciate it. I appreciate the love. Black power, brother, you know, to all my family and comrades, the whole entire nation, African nation, and the whole entire MVP. Like I said, just know that we're gonna continue to work hard and work hard for our people until we're free and have our own nation once again. Black power.
Black power. And that email for the magazine, plug that one last time. I'll never not plug that. Plug that magazine, the email.
The email is RBGnews with a Z, 2012@gmail.com. So if you want to order the hats, the shirts, and things of that nature, we have oils. We have oils, new oil out right now as well. The incense should be done in the next 2 weeks. So like I said, we have a lot of different merchandise that we're working with. But in any connections you want, just hit me up, email me there. Again, RBGnews with a Z, 2012@gmail.com.
Thank you so much, Brother Mike. Black power to you.
Black power.
That's Brother Mike L. That's the brand new National Minister of Economic Development. You can clearly hear why we agree, and the National Chairman agrees, that this brother deserves that post, deserves that position, deserves what he's doing. He's working hard. He's building the economic base of not only the new Black Panther Party for self-defense, he's building an economic platform for the Black Nation, going to look into international trade and commerce with our mother continent and Aboriginal lands, oppressed peoples. It's on and popping. For those of you who are saying it's about that dollar, it's about that dollar, get behind Brother Mike Allen, support his work, support what he's doing. That time is now. And we're still live. We're live on Black Power Radio. It's right now. Is December 31st. December 31st. This is the last day on the white man's calendar. So this is the last broadcast of Black Power Radio in 2012. And it's guaranteed to go out with a bang. We will hear shortly now from our national chairman, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is traveling right now, moving and crisscrossing across this country, working on behalf of the Ministry of Justice, building up the Ministry of Justice along with that bold, beautiful Minister of Justice, National Minister of Justice, Imam Akbar Kareem Bilal. The national chairman has said he is sick and tired of the injustices that are happening to our people. And he understands that the criminal just us system is not set up for us. It's not geared for us. And it's not meant for us. And he has been blessed and been put in a position to go into the courtrooms and represent our people and put some heat on the no good judge. And not only does he go in the courtroom, he also goes on the front lines. This is a black man who the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad said would not sell you out. And I bear witness, he has not sold you out. He is an attorney at war, a freedom fighter, and one of the greats, a legend in his own time, a living legend. And we're honored to have him, honored to serve with him. And at this time, we will hear from him, our freedom fighter, our warrior, our national chairman, the attorney at war, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. Black power.
All right. Black power, black power. All power to the people. Assalamu alaikum. Hotep. Free the land. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition as well. It's my honor, my dear brother, and the national spokesman for the new Black Panther Party, and certainly a close ally of mine, Minister Sean Kwali. Thank you so much for doing everything you do for the organization. Thank you for organizing the Central Committee. Thank you for carrying out the program and the platform that we have given to you. And thanks for working hard on a daily basis for our resurrection and our rise. So all of you who are listening in the audience, I want you to pay careful attention to the instructions that Minister Sean Quali gives to you, and where he says to do, do it, and where he says to stay from there, because we have given him instructions. I have given him instructions. I have given him a black print or a blueprint, and then given him flexibility to with his own creative mind, and told him to go and get you all and get your creative God and goddess minds, and for you all to carry out this black print and build this nation. So thank you. Thanks to God. Thanks to the Honorable Khalid Muhammad. Thanks to the elders and ancestors. And let's go right into these phone lines so we can talk about Liberation 2013. Or I'll take questions from you, sir. Matter of fact, I'm going to have to take at least two questions from you. And then we go to the phone lines. On this subject of Revolution 2013, the Liberation Struggle 2013, and what is on my mind and what is on the minds of those that want liberation, freedom, and independence. And I'll tell you what's on my mind, what's on my agenda. I can give you some glimpse of what's in the Panther Party agenda, but I'm sure you've heard much of it from Brother Mike and Brother Sean. And then I want to talk with y'all that are serious on this phone line, because one thing I for sure can give you is some expert advice, some expert legal advice, some expert political advice, some expert revolutionary advice, some expert black nationalist advice, Black Panther advice. And we're going to get busy. We're going to talk tonight about Azania, South Africa, and us taking a delegation to South Africa in the next couple of months. We're going to talk about the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. We're going to talk about Muhammad and his Earth Day, Holy Day coming up. And so there's a lot to talk about, so let me not talk too much about it. Let me just go ahead and take some of your questions.
Yes, sir. First question, Brother Chairman, we want to know what is on your mind with this recent Sandy Hook shooting in Connecticut, and the talk of the new gun laws and legislation on gun control. What are your thoughts from the national chairman on the Sandy Hook shooting and gun laws and the gun legislation that's coming up now for 2013 and beyond?
That's a heck of a question. And there's a variety of thoughts and thoughts that have come to my head since the massacre of those 20 students at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Connecticut. And, of course, many are here. They want to know what's going to happen to our movement, which depends on self-defense and exercising Second Amendment rights, and in, under those Second Amendment rights, be able to carry out a defense program for our nation and our party. How does it affect us? And so let's just stop right there. This guns. I'm in Los Angeles, California. I'm blessed to be here in the place of my birth. Before I go any further, I want to thank Brother Mikael or Brother Mike or Mikael, who is the chairman of the Los Angeles chapter of the New Black Panther Party, and also congratulate him on being appointed the National Minister of Economic Development for the New Black Panther Party. And he already has produced a line of T-shirts and hats and has a magazine on the burner. And so I'm sure he's going to do wonders with the rest of our economic team and do wonders with our website buttons and other products we need to put back into the line of commerce, our rice, our pasta, our newspapers. And so to all of you who have heard the word that Minister Mikael or Brother Mike used to be from Norfolk has been appointed the National Minister of Economic Development of the Panther Party, help him, work with him. He's focused, he's committed, and in Los Angeles, California, he, Sister Akua, Brother Vernon, other gods and kings that I've been able to build with here, and I will see them again tomorrow. They hosted me a very, very successful town hall meeting, important town hall meeting at the Church of Caras the other night, the 29th. I'll be with them tomorrow. Support him. what are we saying here, my dear brother, about Sandy Hook? We're saying here in California and everywhere across the country, gun sales have not gone down. Gun sales and the effect of coming off of that massacre, some would say that everybody would be turned off by guns. Everybody would forswear their guns. But the effect has been quite the opposite. And in California here, gun sales are up strong. And people, due to fear of the danger of the violence that is pervasive in America, you know, America started with violence, and she appears to be ending with violence. She was born by the gun, and now she appears to be dying by the gun. Now, inside of America dying by the gun and her own violence turning on each other and turning on its own citizens, now, and then inside of this question, that's why I say it's a hell of a question. But I'm not going to take all night on no Sandy Hook. Because
yes,
one short answer is, as much pain as it has caused, we have felt that pain before here and seen that pain in the Black Holocaust for over 400 some odd years. And as African people, as Minister Khalid Muhammad said on his Phil Donahue interview, they said, I'm sensitive to the pain and suffering and loss of life. But after 500 years, I understand that God's judgment is on America, and as she has done to others, it is now being visited on her. And so there's a scriptural answer to the whole question that is just a part of, and it deals with the decline and the fall of America and God's wrath on America, and America, again, being born by the gun, dying by the gun, the laws of Mayat into play here. As you sow, that shall you also reap. And as the Bible says again, that as thou hast done, so shall it be done unto you. Also says in the scripture, as you have taken our blood, you shall be given your own blood to drink like water. And so here we are now, like Jonah in the belly of the whale in America. Here we are now in a nation that is born by violence, buying more guns every day around the country to protect themselves from violence. Here we are now, a black people's and a movement that need to defend themselves and must defend themselves and cannot back up off of their constitutional rights, their divine rights that demand, and their ancestral rights that demand that we must defend ourselves. And so all I can say, brothers and sisters, is arm yourself or harm yourself to those in the radio listening audience. But arm yourself or harm yourself. You must defend yourself. And if you do have a weapon, be well trained with it. Understand what you're doing with whatever piece of machinery or whatever weapon that you choose to have to defend yourself. Be well trained with it. And if you have a mental condition that will reduce your capacity or diminish your capacity to handle and defend yourself with that weapon effectively, stay away from weapons. Guns are nothing to play with. And somebody that is untrained and imbalanced and emotional, you need to stay away, stay the hell away from weapons, because human life is nothing to play with. And 9 times out of 10, we're killing each other up or killing up our own households. But nevertheless, for those that are well-trained and mentally competent and morally competent, we have a moral obligation to defend ourselves. And I will never retreat from that, because that is a staple of the black nationalist movement, self-defense, self-definement, and self-development. Now, as parents, we have to be on guard. As parents, we can't just assume that the violence that has struck the white community by some crazy psychotic cracker who's crazy enough to do something like that to his own, then don't fall asleep like some bump on the log and think it won't happen to you. Don't think it won't happen in one of our schools. don't think that the violence that has infected really white America, that the black man who has been implanted with the mind of the white man, that he can't snap like that too in the end of the times of the insanity of this modern day Babylon. So the duty of this movement, we can't analyze problems, dear brothers and sisters, without understanding what our duty is in the movement. We can't just talk about issues in isolation unless we're going to have some policy about what the hell we're going to do about it. Now, the problem here in our community and with our babies as it relates to the Sandy Hook situation is that we don't have adequate security at our schools. We don't have adequate security for our school, our children in the schools. And so every activist, every organizer that's on this line, every parent that's on this line, first of all, you need to go check your own children's school out, whether it's public or private or charter or wherever it is, whether it's your home school. You better check the security out and be confident that it has an adequate security plan, and then you may have to see how you're going to help or organize to supplement the security. That's what I've had to do with my daughter. And others who know have to go meet with their principals and review their plans. And now not go back to sleep and not think that, as I conclude, not to think that building a security force and a defense force is paramount for those who are on the line in 2013. King Samir Shabazz and everybody on this phone line that says they are a defense man, all I ask you to do is help me. I have a vision of a national security and a national defense force that includes beyond the officer and defense corps of the new Black Panther Party. I have a vision of a national security and defense force. And so I would need King Samir and Bobby and all of the others who really believe in defense to quickly carry out our orders from last year and get this thing in a position where we can have further talks off of this telephone about organizing the black community on a higher level for defense in 2013. If we have any thoughts, if we believe, whichever way you perceive or believe the events that happened at Sandy Hook, the bottom line to it is that there still is a security crisis in our nation. And so talking about that situation is not going to necessarily cut it. We need to see this army jailed and raised up quick, fast, in a hurry. There are young men that need to be employed for security quick, fast, in a hurry. Because as America's security situation deteriorates every second, every hour, security is going to be the number one job in America. Everybody's going to need security in this Babylon, which is wild and crazy as hell. And so there it is, and that's where we have to go. And I expect the Ministry of Defense of the new Black Panther Party to give much stronger results in this area in 2013. But let's be clear, we need a united front of defense in America. Let's be clear, we need a national ministry of defense. Let's be clear, the Black Riders, the new Black Panthers, the Fruit of Islam, brothers and sisters who know karate, some of them ex-military who know and have been overseas in other areas, others who know training and really like to work out hard and make sure that we're in top physical shape. We need to see a greater focused progress in that area. And I'll say this as I go. Whatever I can do to help facilitate it as an advisor and as a security and military advisor, in the spirit of the former Supreme Captain of the Nation of Islam, Minister Khalid Muhammad, whatever I can do to help make it happen, I'll do it. But I'm very busy, so I can help do it, but y'all have to take the lead. But we must have defense in the black nation. We must have a national security force, and we must have an army, and we must have a strong defense in the new Black Panther Party. That is non-negotiable in 2013.
Yes, sir. Certainly an excellent answer. Brother Chairman, this is a follow-up to that question. What is your stance on the NRA and their proposal to put armed guards or police in the school system, in the public school system?
The National Rifle Association is a racist organization that has never shown any concerns for black people. And it is filled with a bunch of right-wing racists. And they are. The National Rifle Association, by and large, are a bunch of no-good bastards. Now, that being said, I still say that in the school system, yes, that there should be armed, well-trained security in the school systems of America. And if you want to talk about a policy, American policy, and how American leadership is reacting to the situation, I don't know if gun control can solve the problem. Yeah, I think it's too many fools with guns in America. That's true. But I don't know if gun control can solve somebody that legally and lawfully gets the gun from his mama and snaps and goes off. This problem is way worse than gun control. His problem is that he's a devil by nature, and his mama's a devil by nature, and his mama's nature is built on violence, since Yaqub grafted him out of violence. You can't control. The devil will kill you in anything. He's a killer by nature. John 8, chapter verse 42, he was born. He's a murderer from the beginning, a liar and a murderer from the beginning. That is his very nature and makeup. So, you know, it's just getting down to the point where in order to put down violence, you got to have some legal equipment to put down that violence. And the law that I study says that legal force and deadly force can be put down legally by deadly force. The law that I study says that you can match any force that comes to harm you or another or take their life, you can match it with that force or greater till you snuff that threat out. And that's really the only situation I can see working. Until we can get our own schools, our own army, and put our babies in our own schools with our own army, and even then we'd have to probably have armed security because the enemy will be trying to destroy our schools. Yes, right now, I'd feel most comfortable, yes, with well-trained armed guards at these schools instead of some wide-open door where these fools can run in. And so that's the sad state we're in right now. I wish it could be otherwise. I wish we didn't have to have weapons to defend against weapons, but that's not reality, and I have no time to delude myself that reality is other than what it is. Everything is real, God, and we don't believe in no kind of mysteries up in here. The fools come shooting, and somebody got to shoot back. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Switching gears now. What are your thoughts on this fiscal cliff? It's all in the news, all on the radio. It's a battle right now between the House, the Republicans, the Democrats, and President Barack Obama. What are your thoughts on this fiscal cliff deal and the state of the economy in America?
America has been on the fiscal cliff for a long time. America has been headed for much more than a fiscal cliff, because her economy is structured on a capitalist and super capitalist model that is doomed to failure. And so this is just one, my dear brother, of many tense moments, tight moments coming in the calamities that are facing this nation, that is going to face us who are here in this radio listening audience. It's going to bring us face to face with the question of whether or not our survival or the survival of our children, whether or not we can even put all our bets on America. And so when I think about the fiscal cliff, I'm thinking about now, they're talking about people's paychecks being cut by 20%. And I say, hell, that's a prescription for revolution right there. Because the brothers and sisters that I know, if they check go down from $637 every 2 weeks to $580 or whatever, if they get cut by $200, these brothers and sisters are really going to start listening to the message of the new Black Panther Party. And so go ahead on off the physical cliff. Speaking of the house, funny-looking devil named Jim Vaynus. Go ahead on. And take the country off wherever you got to go. Because ultimately that's going to play into the hands of those who want complete constructive change. Because dissatisfaction is the mother of change. And cutting some paychecks in America is going to produce some dissatisfaction. People here in America, by and large, they will be tested to see whether they really love America or whether they just mercenaries. They just love it because they're getting some money up out this place. And so if the money is cut and the checks are cut and Social Security is cut and benefits are cut, you're going to see some angry people in America, black and white. And so they plan, and Allah plans. And Allah is the best of planners. They're planning to fix the physical cliff, but Allah is driving America off of the physical cliff. Because she has robbed the nations of the earth, have robbed the red peoples and the black peoples, have refused to pay them reparations. She has an imbalanced, blood-sucking economy that leaves teachers underpaid, that leave people poor and in the streets, and at the same time you have individuals making $5, $15, $20, $100 million a year. No economy like that can last forever. And so whatever he's doing up on the up there, Mr. Obama, the leader of the Senate, Majority Leader Harry Reid, Democrats and Republicans, Democrats and Republicans, whatever they're doing up there, it's just a Band-Aid. Whatever they're doing, they just biding time. Because they have not addressed the root of the problem, and they cannot address the root of the problem because the die has already been set from the beginning. She cannot reform, and she will not reform. She ain't even thinking about reforming. They can't even get along. The United States of America, they argue like punks and faggots all day. It could be enjoyable as a revolutionary just watching how it don't work. Just watching how everything that y'all say y'all believe in, they can't even make simple decisions and pass a simple bill for the so-called good of the country. That'll let you know that everything I'm teaching here is correct. God got to be against it because they can't do nothing for it. They can't even sit down and sign a piece of paper. This was already set up under the laws of Maat from the beginning. And so it's the times. And now all those who are on this phone need to worry about is survival, saving, survival, being wise with your finance, holding on to your money, and on the big picture, leadership got to be talking about making a way for us in Africa. You say, Africa? I ain't going to Africa. I'm going to stay right here on Crenshaw. The hell if you will, God damn it, they cut them food stamps, you ain't going to be on Crenshaw. And they cut these checks, you ain't going to be on Minnesota Avenue. They cut these social services, you ain't going to be on no Flatbush in Fulton. talk to me. And so don't look at me like I'm an extremist. If I tell you that the fastest growing economy in 2012 was in Ghana, and the fastest growing economies worldwide in 2012 was where? Ethiopia. Don't you think, tell me I'm crazy when I tell you that Africa is the promised land. Africa is the promised land. Africa got the best beaches. They just got to be developed. Africa has the best and most mentally rich and fertile land. It's Africa. Africa has the most minerals and diamonds. All the world can starve on off. Africa can sustain itself. God is going to bless Africa in the year 2013 and 2014 and beyond. God is going to bless us after our suffering. And that's why we're headed to Africa March 21st, right into Zania, South Africa, and the frontline states. To hell with just talking about it. We got to get on the ground in Africa and meet our beloved brothers and sisters who will be there waiting to greet us in the Pan-African Congress and our allies, Brother Chris St. Carl and others who are eager to see us. And we can get facts for ourselves, make connections for ourselves, build for ourselves, and make a way for ourselves. They're asking us to come to Ghana. We're already in Senegal, and we're headed there too. And so I say, as I leave that question, the fiscal cliff, whether they go on it or off, they ain't asking me what the solution is. These idiots are going to do what they want to do anyway, and they're not going to spread the wealth to the masses. And if they're not going to take that money, that gold, this land and resources, and chop it up, and spread it out to the masses, then whatever they got coming, they got coming. But I'm going to make a way for my babies, and I'm going to make a way for the babies in the Panther Party, and make a baby for those that really want to do right. I'm going to make a way by God's grace, and I'm willing to work with anybody else who's willing to make a way. And if that has to be in Africa, so be it. And if it's a separate state in America, so see it. Right now, save your money. Right now, work hard as you can. Right now, whatever you can get and store up, store it up. Waste not, want not, because the fall is here. When you hear him talking about a cliff means fall. He's telling you the teachings of Elijah right to your face. He's telling you, I'm on my cliff. I'm on my financial cliff. I'm on the edge. I'm falling. It's written from the word of God given to us by Master Farah Muhammad. I'll take your next question.
Yes, sir. You mentioned the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that the last trick of the devil is his white woman. There's a lot of talk of Hillary Clinton, her stepping down from her position as Secretary of State. Do you believe that Hillary Clinton will run for the office of president, and what does that mean for the United States of America?
I won't even waste your time, brother, even answering. It means nothing, because Hillary Clinton is nothing different than her predecessors. Hillary Clinton is in the hospital right now, either suffering from real anxiety or she's faking sick because she did not want to be subpoenaed to testify about her negligence in her role in the Benghazi affair, where her ambassador, she's Secretary of State, she's in charge of all embassies and ambassadors around the world. Now, she oversaw and was at command and control when Muammar Gaddafi was assassinated, and when Libya and the Jamahiriya movement was overthrown. Here's Hillary Clinton. She's the mastermind of it. But she's so silly. Silly Hillary. You overthrow the man's government, you have him killed, and you don't even protect your own ambassador. Why was the U.S. ambassador, if you're thinking like American security, why the U.S. ambassador in Benghazi, if the government you say have replaced Gaddafi is in Tripoli. Why your man way out there in the desert in Benghazi? Think about that. And so she was not up on the situation. Why? Because when they targeted and assassinated Gaddafi, what they did was they created chaos in Libya that you still don't know about right now because there's a conspiracy to keep it quiet by this administration who really don't want to let you know what a mess they created in Libya. And so all kind of tribes and factions and going on in Libya. All kinds of, from their perspective, security gaps and breaches are going on in Libya. It's chaos in Libya. And she had an ambassador in the eastern Libya out there in Benghazi who was unprotected, and he got nailed and drugged through the streets. And it haunts her to this very day. And so she doesn't want to answer any questions. It's been a lot of fallout behind this. Susan Rice lost her appointment behind this. The Republicans have really made an issue out of this and have really held her and their feet to the fire on this. She had the fire from the State Department, major employees as a concession, start firing people. But really, she's the one that should be fired. She is the one that was negligent in analyzing the security that came in. Now, from our perspective, we don't really care too much either way. Because we say the chickens came home to roost. You destroyed and you killed Gaddafi, and whatever happened after that, you got what you deserved. Now, her president of the United States, who cares, and so what? It's the same game, just a different name. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for that answer. We'll shift gears here. January 12th. It's the birth date of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. You're expected to give a major address via webcast and cast throughout the world from New York City. What are some of the things that you'll be discussing? What are some of the upcoming plans for yourself and the new Black Panther Party and Black Lawyers for Justice?
Good questions. Good questions. We intend to keep the legacy and the name of Minister Khalid Abdul Muhammad out front. And as long as there's breath in my body, no matter what formation or organization I'm teaching out of, I will always teach and uphold my mentor. You know, even as an attorney, when I get into to arguing a case in front of a jury, or I step in front of judges or carrying out direct or cross-examinations, I see the benefit of being a student of Minister Khalid Muhammad because I'm much more effective than my opponent when it comes to talking to the audiences, talking to the jury, and persuasively arguing my case or attacking or a witness who is hostile. It just helped me be a better lawyer. And so what am I saying to anybody that's listening, man? We here who are on this telephone, who are honoring Khalid Abdul Muhammad, are not into some kind of cult. We're not strange people. This man is a very, very valuable man, and he means something special to many on this phone, and he's affected many differently. And so I say, may all under the sound of my voice raise up and honor Khalid Abdul Muhammad on January 12th. Raise up and don't shop. Raise up and don't do nothing else but honor him. You honor George Washington, don't you? You honor Abraham Stinking Lincoln, don't you? You honor people that are your killers and your murderers. So push the holy day. Push Dr. Khalid Muhammad Day. I'll be in New York, in Brooklyn, at the Christian Life Center, 1061. You have to help me. Anna forgot it. I think it's Flatbush.
So I'll look it up.
You'll get it for me as we go along. But I'm going to be in Brooklyn at Pastor Dennis Dillon's church host of the African International Merchants Association, and I'm going to be keynoting a town hall meeting called Revolution 2013, where we're dealing specifically with the political fight, the economic fight, the spiritual fight, and the fight for education, and the subject of building a united front in New York. But Minister Sean Quali says there will be a national webcast, so this will be a national town hall meeting that questions will come from across the nation. I'm not just going to New York to give a celebration. I love and honor Minister Khaled Abdul-Muhammad, but this is about carrying on Dr. Khaled's work in specific. There's too many meetings going on in the black nationalist community that are not focused, and they need to be focused to produce more. We got good brothers and sisters trying to have meetings and forums. But unless somebody here on the scene in the hells of America can help to patch together and link together and put together these forces that are in every city, unless somebody or somebodies can bring this together. Matter of fact, I'm not even going to speak in that sense. I'm not even going to say unless. I'm going to say somebody is. We must, Brother Sean. We on this telephone are. We will. In the year 2013, build this united front and build what Khaled Muhammad envisioned, which was a uniting of the black power community, a spiritual, cultural black power movement, and a liberation theology movement. And so we're going to be taking care of business in New York. And when I have this town hall meeting with other activists and so forth, when you watch it, you will get clear policy and clear instructions and ideas for what is going to be happening in 2013 and the way we're going to go and the way that by God's grace I can help you go and the way by God's grace the new Black Panther Party can help and Black Lawyers for Justice. Well, what is this Black Lawyers for Justice? What is this, Attorney Shabazz? Well, I'm an attorney. I am an attorney. You forgot, right? But I never forgot. I got a role to fulfill. I got a mission to fulfill that's really going to help our movement even more. I got to get in the courtroom and kick more behind in the courtroom for our people. I have the first sign of what I will be doing on the legal end in 2013, is coming out on January 12th. It is my brochure, my national brochure called What Black People Need to Know When Dealing with the Police. It is an extensive brochure that I want every black man and woman in America to have in their glove box. I want them to have the application on their iPhone. I want all of us to know about our rights with the police, and I want to make a dent and start to put an end to this police brutality. And because I'm connected to a movement all over the country, I want y'all to work with me to help get legal education out there to the people in the spirit of the Panther Party from the 60s who started on the basis of legal information and then exercising their legal rights to the fullest extent. And so I need to know from you, I'm going to tell you where I'm headed, because if you think that Black Lawyers for Justice means that I will be getting more conservative, you're wrong. It means that we're going to have to deal with these police in the courtroom and on the street. It means that we're going to have to get out here with these brochures and start exercising our rights. And when these officers come to brothers and sisters in the streets and start patting them down, violating the law, violating Terry v. Ohio, stopping frisk laws and going well beyond Terry v. Ohio in their stop and frisk and illegal detentions without reasonable suspicion, then somebody got to check that. Somebody gonna have to test that law, because a law on paper ain't worth nothing unless it's tested in the street. And so Black Warriors for Justice and New Black Panther Party in 2013, this issue of police brutality is going to be put to the test, because a united front of certain forces is going to come together that's going to see this thing on a whole nother level. And Attorney Shabazz is digging in for the legal fight of his life and got other attorneys with me, superstars with me. So don't trip out if you see me say I'm Black Warriors for Justice here and there. Yeah, I can do all things through Christ. I got a mission I got to go on that's going to help this movement. And so the Panther Party and the lawyers are going to be working tight together. All of these families who have children and relatives that are being beaten by police, in 2013, y'all gonna have to come by us. Because we're tired of seeing silly families. We love you. You're in pain. We love you. But some of these families are silly. And they pick silly attorneys, and their cases get silly results. And the police are continue to run over us until we get some consolidation in this thing. Yeah, and my goal in 2013, anybody injured, beaten, or falsely arrested by the police, the first number they're going to be trying to call in my goals and objectives is Black Lawyers for Justice. And the ones that are going to be on out there on the ground and fighting and on them demonstrations and holding a hard line is the New Black Panther Party. To hell with Al Sharpton and his Jewish lawyers. That's crazy. Boy, let me just say this, Minister Sean. Man, look, I'm coming out with the brochure. It will help you all. It will be very instructional. I'm going to try to make other lawyers out there. Even if y'all don't are not lawyers, I want you to have a strong grasp of the law that can whoop any lawyer. I don't just want it for me. That's why I'm trying to give out legal education to the masses through websites. This is going to be websites, Black Lawyers for Justice website. Then we got a Panther Police policy that has extra information in it. And I'm everywhere in 2013. I want to see us with our brochures and our pamphlets at hand, giving out legal education and legal information so people can then act on it. And as we move in the year, we got it in the video cameras. And the Panther Party, you're going to have to go out there first with your pamphlets, information, and your training. Then you got to get in them cars and get them iPhones to work. Then you're going to have to learn how to stop and record police from a reasonable distance. You're going to have to see incidents where the police are going over the line and they're drawing a crowd, and you're going to have to go out at least and give out some information. I mean, I wish we could do like Huey and Bobby and them and just pop up and stand on the sidewalk and observe them with shotgun in hand. But since there's no Mulford Act, and since they won't allow you to do that, we still are going to have to be on the scenes of these police abuses and start educating our people. We can't continue to let all these wild police killings happen everywhere and we just complain about it. We got to have policy. And some policy is going to come out of the Black Lawyers for Justice. It's going to come out of what we call here the Ministry of Justice of the Panther Party. Some policies going to come out of it. So, my dear brothers and sisters, as I leave that, you can count on Attorney Shabazz to really be in this legal fight, particularly in the area of police brutality. And you can count on more pressure on you all who are against it to organize and get out here and put an end to it by any means necessary. Now, also what I'm trying to deliver legally is I got another pamphlet I'm coming out with after that. And it's called The Black Man's Guide to Child Support. And that's going to come after this pamphlet I got coming out, which is ready now, What Black People Know When Dealing with the Police. All of these pamphlets, dear Brother Sean, I'm compiling for my first book, which is going to be called what? Black Laws for All Black People. How could it be called anything else but Black Laws for All Black People? I will complete most of that book by God's grace in 2013, Black Laws for All Black People. But before that, I'm working with young, brilliant Brother King Shabazz in Toronto. I'm working with you, Minister Sean. I'm working with the good writer, researcher, and documentary man, Dashaun Farad. I'm working with Minister Hashim Nzinga, the chief of staff of the New Black Panther Party, and others. I'm working with them to do what? I'm working with them to do the long overdue biography on Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad. And we're working on that now, where we transcribe his best speeches, but also we do personal interviews with those that walk with him at his stages of life. And many of them we have to rush and catch now as they get up in age. And so Dr. Khalid's book is going to come out before my book, and I'm expecting this to be done and to really be ready for release prior to, and should be release date, of Malcolm X born date of May 19. So books are coming out. We're traveling overseas and building our connections in Africa. I'm fighting on the legal front, and you know, black man, I got my hands full. Now, to those in the Panther Party, I have called on the Central Committee of the Panther Party to step up and take on a greater role so that I can be more effective in doing what I'm doing. We have to share the work. So I have called and given greater role to Minister Sean Kwali, and I'm happy with what he's doing and telling you he needs more support. So the Panther Party Central Committee must become stronger and as one, and must be effective and must operate better than ever. So I need to see you, Keisha Kisses, Sister Keisha and Divine and Mike, Mikael, and Mikhail in Florida, and James Muhammad, and especially you, Minister Hashim Nzinga, and all of you, I'm expecting y'all to be better than ever. I mean, you better kick ass on everything this year. And then go out there and unite with all of those other organizations that we need to build the united front with. Lock that united front in with the Black Riders. Lock that united front in all of these cities with brothers and sisters and organizers that will stand with us. And let's show our people, brothers and sisters, let's show our people in 2013 that black power is the way.
Yes, sir. Excellent. Excellent questions and answers. Brothers and sisters, the number to call is 646-478-4447, 646-478-4447. You're on live. This is Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, National Chairman of the New Black Panther Party and founder for Black Lawyers for Justice. Brother Chairman, if you don't mind, sir, we'll go right to the phone lines. All right. Let's go with area code here, 347-272. Your area code is 347-272. Please state your name and give us your question for the Honorable Chairman, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, Black Power. Caller, you with us? 347-272.
While we get one more on, also, I want to say that there are others who are also important to the process as I look down my list. When it comes to building a national security and defense force and employing young black men, Brother DK from Dallas, Texas, the Minister of Defense, and Minister Hakeem from Dallas, Texas, the Supreme Captain, very important. there are other activists who are very important this year. Some of them down there in Houston and others, Crystal Muhammad and others, and many others in Dallas that are very, very important to this process. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. All right, we'll take caller at 240-464. Area code is 240-464. You're on live with Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, our national chairman. Your question, your comment, please, and Black Power.
Yes, sir. Thanks for sharing the wisdom with us, Brother Honorable Chairman Malik Zulu Shabazz. It has definitely been a pleasure to team up with you and work for justice here in the city of Washington, D.C., and to carry that mission nationwide and to eventually carry our mission abroad. So definitely I get a double feed by getting much of my information from the chairman, Malik Zulu Shabazz, directly. But on that same strength and premise, as we go and as we grow, we carry such a weight and thrust when we bring black nationalism and we bring our black revolution to the people. And I just wanted to ask you, answer my question, Brother Chairman, to put a little light on, there's one incident in Utah where the teachers are being trained with arms, being trained to shoot, as well as this grows on across the nation. Some other states will open up and begin to allow their teachers to be trained and armed inside of the school with their armed security, perhaps. But we want to look at that, and as we build education and justice, I would just like to ask that question for you, Brother Chairman. How do you see that Ministry of Justice being effective locally, nationally, and internationally as we grow and expand our office as a Minister of Justice or as justice, black justice for black people and divine justice and divine revolution for the black community? Black power.
All right. That's a good question. And let me, I'm going to be short because I want to get other callers in. But brothers and sisters, that is the Minister of Justice of the new Black Panther Party and the National Investigator for Black Lawyers for Justice, Imam Akbar Bilal, who was my trusted ally and assistant and spiritual aide in this hour. Again, you know, I'm not going to go back on schools and guns. I don't want to talk any more about that. I just want to say that we need to build our own schools. I want to say that I'm hoping by January 12th that the beginnings of the Pan-African Online University, that when we do this national webcast on the 12th on newblackpanther.com, that when this webcast takes place, that I will be able, from James Muhammad and Sister Akua and others, I will be able to show you all the beginnings of the online university we have talked about. That's what I want to talk about, our own schools and a structure where we pull out of these schools, we can just learn what we need to learn online until the security get right. Okay, so that's what I want to put out there and say, I hope we reach that goal by the 12th or we can show you the beginnings of the online university. And the rest of that, Brother Akbar, again, I'm trying to build an alliance of attorneys. This is one form of the black, one part of the United Front. I'm trying to build, and this deals with police brutality. When you're dealing with a United Front against police brutality, you need lawyers, you need bail bondsmen, you need investigators, you need law clerks, you need activists, you need demonstrators, and you need defense people. And you need them working in unity to deal with all of the facets of police brutality. And right now, with the releasing of this brochure that is coming out from Black Lawyers for Justice and the Panther Party, from Attorney Shabazz, the beginnings of this national movement against police brutality and a converging of the forces, the building of a united front, you'll be able to watch what we do by God's grace, and it'll get stronger and stronger every step of the way. I take another question.
Okay, yes, sir. Imam Akbar, thank you so much for your call. Let's go to the next caller here. Your area code is 504-432. Area code 504-432. You're on live with Black Power Radio and the national chairman of the new Black Panther Party. This is Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. Your question and comment, please. Black Power.
Black Power. So, most of all, Soul Power. Well,
Soul
Malik,
Power, Black Power. Yes, sir.
Brother Malik, I got two quick questions that I want to ask you. Now, my first question is, how do you get black people in the community to do a neighborhood watch? I can understand we don't want to work with the police, but, you know, how you get them to come together to do a neighborhood watch?
Well, that's just, brother, I love you for the question. What you do to get them to come together for a neighborhood watch is you either get you some flyers, or even if you don't have no flyer, you get yourself straight and cleaned up, and you go door to door, and you knock on the door next door, and you say, hey, I'm Brother Malik. How you doing? I'm Mr. Shabazz. I'm your neighbor, and we're trying to make our neighborhood safer. This is who I am. This is my experience and training. And would you consider working with me or hearing my ideas about how we could organize to make sure our neighborhood is free from internal problems and external problems? What you're doing, dear brother, is you just go and talk to your neighbors and talk to your people, and they will help and participate. And if they see you doing something else on the block, if they can see you maybe organize some on the block, if you maybe fix a problem, sweep up some leaves or pick up some trash or fix some kind of problem, they'll even have more confidence in you. If they see you can take out a piece of, get on your computer, and they see you can write a letter to your councilman or something about a problem that has existed in the neighborhood, then, brother, then all the more they're going to start to see you as a leader. I would love, brother, to have block captains and precinct captains and area captains in this movement all over America. I really would. I would love to have somebody, and we could organize this thing block by block and give the people in the neighborhood some representation that they want, and then they will follow you into stronger and more progressive and more revolutionary activity if we learn how to serve our neighbors. So, brother, yes, just go right ahead and knock on your neighbor's door, brother. Start organizing. All of y'all on this phone, stop over-relying on Facebook and the Internet and start talking to black people, talking to your elders and your neighbors, and you will see our movement will go much faster. We are not going to win this movement on no damn computer and on no phone. Use the computer and use the phone. But never forget, we're black humans, and we're also in a community, and we need to talk to each other if we're really going to start organizing these hoods.
Okay. And also, I want to purchase the Black Panther newspaper. Where can I, you know, get that?
All right. That's a good question. And you know where I want you to get the answer from, my dear brother? I want you to call in every week and ask, where's that Black Panther newspaper, so that all of my beloved comrades in the Panther Party will know that the people need the newspaper and that they will rise up quickly and get it to you. So I'm not going to sell you no paper from 8 months ago, and I'm not going to front with you and tell you you're going to get one next week. I will tell you that you should have it, and that if things go right and if people do the right thing, you could have it by what they call Savior's Day or the end of February. But the Panther Party, if you're on the line, you're listening. Now, that's on y'all. I love you. I defend you and all of that, but you got the answer for that. If the paper is not out right now, then I expect the leadership in this party to stand up and answer that question and get that paper out and satisfy this man. Let's go on to the next. Love you, black man. Don't give up. Don't give up on us, man. Hold on and keep asking us for that paper every week on this line, all right?
Alrighty.
All right, love you.
Black power.
Black power.
Black power. Carl, thank you so much for your question. Again, the number is 646-478-4447. You're on live with Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, National Chairman of the New Black Panther Party and founder of Black Lawyers for Justice. We'll bring another caller here. The lines are blowing up. Your number is 806, area code 806-683-806-683. You're on live with Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, the New Black Panther Party. Your question, your comment, please. Black power.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Well, anyway, I'm calling from Oklahoma, and I heard your comment about having some lawyers out there. And, I mean, I'm having an uphill or downhill battle out here with police beatings out here in southeast Oklahoma. They treat these black folks real bad. But while the church is at the – while the folks are at the church at a you know, watching New Year's, I'm out here trying to find out what I can do to help these people. And you know, I'm swamped. So do you have any information on how blacks can organize out here to find black lawyers or to find somebody from ACLU or whatever to come down here to discuss black folks or what to do when they're approached by the cops? Because these cops are yanking these brothers off the street, beating them for every inch of their lives out here, sir. And then,
well, my sister, you touched my heart. You touched my heart. Let me tell you this. What city in Oklahoma are you in?
Okay. It's in McAllister. Now, I'm out here in a different county because I ain't got no blacks out here, but I got to reach out to the other county that's nearby because I'm out
I'm
here trying to
I'm going to give you my email, and then
okay.
I'm going to give you my number, and I want to talk to you because
yeah.
you're exactly the kind of person that I'm looking for, that's that activist against police brutality that's committed, and all you need is some support. And
yeah,
you
the only thing that I'm doing so, yeah. See, the only thing I'm doing so far is that I'm sending up complaints like to the U.S. Department of Justice. I'm doing all that I can because I'm, you know, I failed to go to law school when I graduated from undergrad. But the only thing I can do is just send out complaint letters to the U.S. Department of Justice for the police misconduct. I'm taking that route. But they need more help because they don't have lawyers
right.
when they go to
but
court.
This is what we do here. First of all, sister, I'm a national attorney, and I can operate anywhere in America, in the federal courts of America. That's how I've been working to set this thing up over the last few months. And
okay.
so I, if necessary, and that's to anybody on this phone line, if necessary, that I come to represent on a case or to deal with the case where the police have killed or severely beaten somebody, I can be there, and I'm building a real network of attorneys and black lawyers for justice. This is not no damn shell game. I got
okay.
Pardon my language, sister. It's not, right now I got about 20 lawyers with me, and I'm not looking for a whole lot of them because a lot of them ain't worth too much. But every day,
mm-hmm.
the strong ones. I'm going to be talking with Attorney Chokwe Lumumba, who's nearby in Mississippi in a moment. He's certainly already one of our advisors. And I plan to talk with Attorney Alton Maddox. He's still our attorney, Alton Maddox, in New York. Okay, so what am I saying, sister? I got some people in Dallas, Texas. They're not attorneys, but they're a hell of an activist. And they will come in with my and our information, and they will come in, and I want to work with you. So they come into Oklahoma, and they help get an audience of people and do legal training with you and come
okay.
in and go over and review these situations and look at the security in the town and see how the police are abusing our people and assess the security, and they probably will come in there and help raise you up a defense force or raise you up a chapter of the Panther Party. You know, to help you out. Then as attorneys and building a network of activists against the police, see, there's all kind of ways I can help you. Those
okay.
in the listening audience, if you know somebody that has been arrested falsely by the police, if they have been beaten by the police, if they have
yeah.
been killed, if they have been killed by the police, I need you to email ShabazzLawOffice@yahoo.com. Shabazz Law Office, ma'am, at yahoo.com.
Okay.
ShabazzLawOffice@yahoo.com because I'm going to be investigating these cases. And I'm building a ministry of justice where I need dedicated people like you, sister, to help me review cases and help lay the base for just a specific movement against police brutality where we can protect our people from police abuse and educate them on our rights and team it up with a grassroots movement that will come in and help teach and train self-defense and organize politics and towns and so whole towns and shutdowns and economic blackouts and boycotts and all kind of rebellions.
We need it
will
bad.
Take place. We need a. I mean, straight up, according to the Bill of Rights, when in the course of human events that a government has become tyrannical, then it is. It goes on to talk about the rights and the duty of a people to overthrow such government. So the Bill of Rights itself talks about a rebellion against unjust tyranny. And if the police brutality that we have suffered in America is not an overt and prima facie form of unjust tyranny, then I'm not breathing right now. And so we got to rise up if we're going to get some justice. And we got to fight on all fronts. I thank you, my sister. What's your name, Queen?
My name is Arlene Barnum, but I go by Arlene Army on Yahoo.
Sister Arlene, please, Brother Sean, make sure I don't lose that number. Text me Sister Arlene's number. When I am off this phone, Sister, I want to talk to you, and I want to work with you. And to the path of party, this queen is a sign of the kind of persons in the United Front that we need to be making friends with if you want to see strong progress in 2013. Okay? Shabazz Law Office at yahoo.com, Sister. Love you.
Okay. Love you, too.
Let's get Oklahoma going. I promise you I'm going to help you. I promise you that now. Come on, Sean.
All right. Yes, sir. We rolling. And I got Sister Arlene's number. She's a good friend of mine. I got you. Let me take the next caller here at area code 214-672. Your area code is 214-672. You're on live with the National Chairman of the New Black Panther Party, Dr. Malik Zulu-Shabazz. Give us your question, your comment. Talk to us, Black Power.
Hey, Brother John, Black Power.
Black Power.
Brother Nassim, Chairman, Dr. Freddie, my little Jews, God, thank you, peace be unto you, yours, and your family. I greet
What's
you
up,
Hakeem? I'll pray to you tomorrow. I greet you in the name of Allah, who appeared in the person of the great, mighty Master W. Salah Muhammad, to whom I will praise the truth. You will be the blessed, well, in the privilege, after over 23 years of serving your faith, to be one of your most humble servants by way of the Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, our black power healing. I promise not to be loud, but I promise to be strong. Brother Sean Quali, thank you very much for allowing me to log on. I've been kind of cheap, but Allah has blessed me to be like a field favorite doughboy to be popping fish, pop, bounce, stay strong.
You better come on with that question, Black man. Come on with the question. Boy, your intro's so long, the show going to be over.
It's so
yes,
much
love. You got a question, Black man?
And I couldn't talk to nobody. I'm missing you, brothers and sisters.
I love you,
and
man. I love you. Let's stop for a minute, man. Love you, man, and good to hear from you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's a blessing as well as a privilege to serve fun that you guys for turning my little spots, and I love you very much. My family send you greetings of peace, greetings, honor, and salutations to my wife, Layla and Collie from Ghana, West Africa, to my mother and father here. Hey, I hadn't been talking on the phone because I've been kind of sick, but it makes me feel good to know that you're still on the quest when God has sent you all. Many of your calls were chosen to feel it, Brother Sean Quali, they say the fruit don't fall far from the tree. I just want to know, will I be allowed to come and participate February 12th as well as 7th for the college? Because, you know, if it would have been for the Black Power General, I wouldn't know you, neither one of you. It's because of the love that he shared with me here in the city of Dallas, Texas, that we fed over 900 families, you know, for Christmas. And we gave them toys. And now I have a church where I'm now doing my ministry from, because the church is a high place where now I teach the teachings of Islam and the structure of the New Black Panther Party from the church now.
Hey, Muhammad, time is running, Black man. Do you have a question, God?
I want to know if you're going to let me die when you do this, or you're going to kick me out. Can I come, please?
what did he say? I'm having a hard time hearing. What did he say?
He said, can he roll with you? When you make your move to do your thing in New York, and when you roll, can he roll with you?
Brother, yes, sir, you can roll with me, Black man. You know you're welcome to go everywhere I go, Black man. If we can get you to where I'm at. Now, this man is really, this is Brother Captain Hakeem Muhammad, who has a special title of Supreme Captain in the New Black Panther Party, and he's a special confidant to Khalid Muhammad, and he's close to me, and he really sincerely loves me, and he's big, and he's strong, and he's effective, and I love him, and he's a veteran from the Nation of Islam back in the 70s and all of that. But what we have to do is get going better. A ministry of defense should be able to at least give you a bus ticket or a plane ticket and put you everywhere I'm at. And I want you where I'm at. I want you in New York. I want you in New York. I want you when I go to Florida. And I for sure want you when we go to Africa. And so focus in right now. You got to get with Minister Sean Kwali and Hashim Nzinga and others. We're going to have to really raise some money fast in a hurry. And let me just say this, because we got to get to Africa, and we got to have a war chest. We got to have a war chest. I don't want to have no organizational meeting on the radio line. But I would say this. I'm going to use your question to say we got to get to Africa. And for everybody that is going to go to Azania, South Africa, between the dates of March 20th and 29th, and even if you can't make all them 9 days, you got to make some of them. 21st of March is the Sharpeville Massacre Anniversary, where in 1960, in Azania, South Africa, in the fight against apartheid and the wicked regime that have invaded our native land, the Pan-African Congress was born, and the brilliant leader, Sobukwe, was come to birth and into being in great light in one of the classic struggles of our people emanating from the Sharpeville Massacre and the birth of the Pan-African Congress and a strong ideology. One settler, one bullet. All of that. Well, anyway, brothers and sisters in Azania, South Africa are waiting for us, and some of the frontline states, such as Zimbabwe, Angola, Tanzania, they're waiting for us as well. And so it's time to go to Africa. I shouldn't even have to waste my time. All I'm going to tell you is that get your money together now, and those leaders that are going to go, then your chapters and fundraising forces, let's put them into effect now. Because within the next few days, we're going to be coming out with ticket and travel information and dealing with hotels and everything, because we're going home to our motherland. Our first trip to Africa, we will be making, and probably make another one next year to West Africa. Not next year, but later in the year. But certainly, it's time to just get ready right now, get our passports right, and let's get on over here to Africa. They have everything, they say, being laid out for us, and I believe them. The work we've done here has resonated all over the world. And brothers and sisters love us and are looking to us all over the world, and they're looking to Malik Zulu Shabazz. And so I can't be no Pan-Africanist spending too much time in America. So come on, if you're with us, if you want to be part of this delegation, even if you're not in the Panther Party, I'm contacting Dr. Jeffries. I want to see what his schedule is, if he can go. There's certain key people that want to go. Certain journalists have contacted me. They want to go. I'm talking to some brothers and sisters who are close to Kwame Ture and the All African People's Revolutionary Party. Some of them want to go. Wouldn't it be nice if we went and took a delegation of 50 to 100 for March 21st in Azania for the anniversary of the Sharpeville Massacre? All right. Sounds good to me. That's what I'll be striving for, and everything else in between. Let me take another question. Time is running. I want to answer some more questions.
Okay. Yes, sir. Thank you so much for your call. Brother Supreme Captain, we love you, black man, and you can roll. Let's go to area code 402-238-402-238. You're on live with our national chairman, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. Please give us your question, your comment, please. Black Power.
Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Go with your question, please. You have a question.
All right. I was wondering what to do when they let you.
Switch calls, man. Let's keep rolling.
All right. We'll move away from the devil and get on back to God. Let me get in here. Area code 989-332, area code 989-332. You're on the air with our national chairman, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, and the new Black Panther Party. Give us your question, your comment, please, Black Power.
All right, Black Power. Yeah, hey, I just wanted to ask a quick question about, what are we going to be doing, like, for New Year's? Like, as far as, like, you know, you know, us as Africans, you know, fighting for, like, reparations, you know, against the government stuff. Kind of see as far as...
Brother, I can say review this whole tape. And if you want to be effective in the fight for reparations and injustices perpetrated by this government, the best way for you to help is to take the number that Minister Sean Quali is going to give you, because Minister Sean Quali has been placed as over all of the recruiting and has been given the power to appoint anybody to any position based on his consultation with myself. And so just link in with Sean Quali. If you want to be effective, brother, join with us. That's what I'm telling you. And if you don't join with us, go. What city are you in?
Michigan.
You're in Michigan. Well, then join with us, because I'm not going to, I don't have anybody to recommend you to over there. Well, I do have somebody. But anyway, join with us. Join with us. And if you can't join with us, join an organization fighting for the people. That's what I'm saying. But really, join with us, black man, because if we, I'm not going to say if, I believe we the odds on favorite to make lots of progress in 2013. I got a seasoned team as we go into this season. This is a team of seasoned veterans, and I can't say they're too old or past their prime, because revolutionaries, you don't stop being effective just because your ankle give out or whatever, or your back give out. And so we got a good team here. They got a lot of talent in the Panther Party, and we're going to be expecting that talent to perform. So you come on, black man, let's go. A lot of young brothers and sisters in America that want a movement, and I'm charging all of y'all who have been here for 5 years and 10 years and all you veterans to make good on your words and give this next generation a chance to struggle the same way Khalid Muhammad set it up and gave you a chance to struggle. Now, I'm challenging y'all this year to give men like this and others on this phone a chance to struggle. The Panther Party is not a masonry group. It's not something for just to hold on to. Spread this party out and get these people organized. Let's go.
Okay, caller, thank you so much for your call. We'll be giving out the number at the end of the show for you to connect with the new Black Panther Party and join. Last call here tonight, area code 614-357, 614-357. You're on live with our national chairman, Dr. Malik Zulu-Shabazz, and this is the new Black Panther Party. Give us your question, your comment, please. Black Power. Your caller, you're on live. Yes, Black Power, go ahead. Your question, please.
Columbus, Ohio chapter. I was saying I will be there celebrating Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad, January 12th. I ain't doing nothing for the trash, none at all, but except for the black people only. I will be in Louisville, Kentucky, with national spokesman and national assistance under national chairman, Lisa DeVos, working my butt off on getting out of recruiting, doing for the black, and as far as the police brutality. I've been doing that since I was 13 years old, and this is what activity me.
All right, well, then now I'm about to test you. Now, since you say you so much against the police, first of all, much love to you, because I know you got love for me, Namar, Columbus, Ohio. But now, since you say all this year that you so much against the police or the police, well, now let's put this thing to the test, because I need you, my dear sister, to take these brochures, and I want these brochures everywhere in Columbus. I want them in the stores. I want them in people's cars. I want us to go on the radio and TV and talk about it. I want us to make everybody in Columbus, Ohio, get down with this program of legal education and action against police brutality. So I'll be working with you closely, because I want to come to Columbus and do a straight-up legal seminar. I want to do a legal seminar there and a legal education town hall meeting on your rights against the police. And I want us to make a campaign out of this, and I'm going to test you to see whether you are a serious organizer against this police brutality or you just hollering and screaming. And I believe that you're serious. If you ain't serious, I'm going to make you serious, or you're going to get the hell away from me either way. So I love you, but that's what's coming down the pike, so you better get ready.
It's a done right. deal, sir. Done deal.
Get ready.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead, Minister Sean.
All right, Columbus Chapter, thank you so much for your effort and your work, and look out for those brochures. Brother Chairman, we're right now at about 5 minutes left in the show. We want to allocate this space for you and your final comments and thoughts and to bring us into the new year on the right foot, sir. So last 5 minutes of the show, yours, sir.
I appreciate it. Dear brothers and sisters, I thank you for taking the time to listen to what I've had to say and to be able and permit me to say it in the spirit that I said it. I didn't mean to offend anyone, but I try to be as honest as I can. I'm really looking forward to this year, and I think it can be a big year for the movement. And I'm praying for the success of all of those in the conscious movement and all those who are conscious. I want to send a prayer for an end to division. I want to pray for an end to division in the movement. I want to pray for an end to backbiting amongst black organizations and conscious persons. I want to pray for an end to nigga mess. I want to pray for an end to backbiting. I want to pray for an end to competition between organizations. I want to pray for an end to apathy, an end to laziness, an end to rhetoric without a plan. I want to pray for an end to being mistrustful of our brothers and our sisters, an end to thinking the worst of each other. And I want to pray that our movement gets stronger. I'm going to send out a prayer for Minister Hashim Nzinga, and may he have a strong year in 2013. And that may the devil, pray that the devil's hands not be put on him, and that he not be taken behind the walls. And so we pray to keep Minister Hashim Nzinga from behind the walls and keep our minister and our chief of staff strong. And we pray for our Minister of Justice, Imam Akbar Bilal, to keep him strong, because he going to have to be strong in a year that is going to be as challenging as this. A prayer for our national spokesman and his wife and his queen, that they be a model example for relationships in the black nation, and that they be able to carry the Panther Party forward. And a prayer that y'all help Minister Sean and Queen Amir. A prayer that all y'all ask them, how may I help you? How may I serve you? I know you all are helping Attorney Shabazz, and you're helping Khalid Muhammad, and you're helping Huey Newton and all of them. When you help the new Black Panther Party, help these brothers and sisters to carry the program across. Help the website men. Help these damn website men get their act together. Please, God, help the people that's supposed to help with the technical departments. Help them. Help these chapters. Help these brothers and sisters get their thing right, to get their meetings right and their chapters right and their message out right and get themselves right. I pray for the entire Panther Party. I pray for Divine Allah, keep harm out of his way. I pray for Sister Keisha. I pray for Aeed, Shahid, and Shah, Khadijah, and Hannibal, and Mikhail, and James, and Sister Nadia. Pray for Nadia. I pray for Taco and Riders, and pray for Mikael. I pray for DK and Hakeem and Crystal Muhammad. And I'm praying for all of y'all out there, Kamal and everybody, and everybody in your families, man. I'm praying that y'all be blessed and that you have peace in your life and you have success and money and good homes and luxuries and good training and guns and happiness for your kids and all of that, man. I'm saying happy whatever it is. The cracker say it's a new year, damn it, happy cracker new year. But I'm praying in the name of God in all seriousness. Pray for King Samir. He's a strong man. Just give him more wisdom. Pray for King Samir and Haru and all of them, Sharif, and even men we lost, Bomani and Timmy and Huey Rose. Praying for Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam. Praying for Kwame's followers and all of them, man. I'm praying for our movement. I'm praying to the black God of heaven and earth, and the black God listening. There's no mystery, God. Let's get up and get it done ourselves. Up, you mighty nation. You can accomplish what you will. Up, you mighty nation. You can accomplish what you will. All power to the people and black power.
Black power. That's the national chairman of the new Black Panther Party. Brother Chairman, we thank you so, so much for spending time with us, for being on air with us, for all of your sacrifice, your labor, your hard work over the years, this year, and this year coming. Brother Chairman, we can't say thank you enough. We appreciate you. We love you, and we're going to keep working for you, black man. All right. Brothers and sisters, this is the Black Power Radio last broadcast of 2012. And we're going out with the bang. If you like what you heard and support what you heard, be sure to text this number. Text 502-299-8530, 502-299-8530. Send your questions, your comments to nbpphq@yahoo.com. nbpphq@yahoo.com. We're there, we'll answer, and we'll be there for you. Have a safe and happy new year. Let's go into 2013 the right way with the hearts and the minds of our people. And let's go to win this battle. Black power for black people, all power to the people. It's black power for black people. And if black people are not free, nobody's free. Black power.
I would like to make a few comments concerning the difference between the Black Revolution and the Negro Revolution. There's a difference. When you study the historic nature of revolutions, the motive of a revolution, the objective of a revolution, and the result of a revolution, and the methods used in a revolution, you may change words. You may devise another program. You may change your goal and you may change your mind. Look at the American Revolution in 1776. That revolution was for what? For land. How was it? Why did they want land? Independence. How was it carried out? Bloodshed. Number one, it was based on land, the basis of independence. And the only way they could get it was bloodshed. The French Revolution, what was it based on? The landless against the landlord. What was it for? Land. How did they get it? Bloodshed. Was no love lost, was no compromise. Was no negotiation. I'm telling you, you don't know what our revolution is. Because when you find out what it is, you'll get back in the alley. You'll get out of the way. The Russian Revolution. What was it based on? Land. The landless against the landlord. How did they bring it about? Bloodshed. You haven't got a revolution that doesn't involve bloodshed. And you're afraid to bleed. I said you're afraid to bleed. Long as the white man sent you to Korea, you bled. He sent you to Germany, you bled. He sent you to the South Pacific to fight the Japanese, you bled. You bleed for white people. But when it comes time to seeing your own churches being bombed and little black girls murdered, you haven't got no blood.